The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and we're going to dispense with the second hour intro because I'd rather introduce our guest. He is the head coach of the national champion LSU Tigers. Very happy to have Ed Orgeron on with us. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Glad to have you, Coach. Now, this is a going to be a crazy season for you guys. I mean, how much are you expecting out of the season, or have you even been able to set expectations for performance because you don't even know what the expectations of an actual season are?
Sure, we're playing. We're ready to go. We're going to have 10 games in the SEC, which is going to be very challenging. We're going to start in 26. Our guys are going to come back to camp on Thursday. We're going to have some what we call football school. We have a couple hours where we can do walkthrough and workout. And I think we're going to start camp on maybe the 17th. School's going to start the 24th. And we're going to go as planned. We plan on having a great season.
Now, the big thing that happened with this, and there's been a lot of these games canceled with people playing or with teams playing only their conference schedules, so you guys lose out on the home end with Texas. Should we assume that that's going to be rescheduled at some point?
I would think so. Obviously, we love it. Texas is a great matchup for us. It was a great game last year. Texas, as you know, Houston's a big recruiting area for us. So, yes, we want to play Texas.
Well, and obviously you guys miss out on that Rice game too, and that's a chance for you to basically to come here and showcase what your team is. Not that, you know, I guess you guys had a pretty good platform to showcase your team last season come playoff time, but how big of a deal is it for you guys to recruit in Texas?
Huge. Some of our best players come from Texas, and especially in the Houston area and Dallas. We've done very well. We're doing very well right now. We got great players. From Texas, they come to LSU and they enjoy it. Some of our best players have been from the Houston and Dallas area.
Coach, you had what I think many would consider the greatest college team ever assembled last year. You lose so many of those guys, but recruiting seems to be a strong point for you. So what can we expect to see different from next year's team?
I think we're very talented. We have some young guys. This is the best freshman class I ever recruited. Seeing them run out there, we're very fast. Two excellent graduate transfer, Liam and Jabril Cox. I think they're both going to start for us. I think Liam's going to start at center. Jabril Cox is going to start at linebacker. He's very fast. And we got some young freshmen that are going to compete for starting time. And then you got, you walk out there, you see Jamar Chase and Derek Stingley, two of the best players in the country. So I think that we have some great talent. It's all going to depend on the quarterback. I think Miles Brennan is going to have a great year. I think he's going to operate the offense like we want him to. Max Johnson and T.J. Finley are two outstanding young quarterbacks. I can't wait to see these guys play.
You know, when you guys last season, when you guys were having so much success offensively, I mean, obviously Joe Brady and Joe Burrow were sort of a match made in heaven, and Joe Brady got a lot of headlines last year. Do you feel like people questioning what your team can do without Joe Brady, or maybe underselling what you did with that team last year?
Well, I don't listen to that. I say block out the noise. Steve Ensminger was our offensive coordinator. Joe did come in and bring in the spread. Joe Brady did. He did a great job, and he's a young coach. But I have Steve Ensminger. I have Scott Linehan. I think our offense is going to be great. Obviously, we don't have Joe Burrow. I think that Joe Burrow made everybody look good, and when the quarterback can operate and make decisions like he did, I think that he was the key to everything. So, obviously, the quarterback position is key for us. I think Miles Brennan's going to do a tremendous job.
Is jumping straight into the SEC schedule, is that problematic for you? Because obviously you said last year Texas was a good matchup for you guys. I do think it prepped you for a good SEC season. It gave you guys one of the few pushes that you really had all season, it seemed, that game. But those Rice games, sometimes you're getting warmed up. You're getting guys out on the field that may not have seen a lot of time. Is it going to be tough for you going straight into the grind of the SEC schedule?
Well, I'll say this: it's going to be different. But the things that has to happen, we have what we call preseason games, so we have to simulate games within ourselves in Tiger Stadium and play against ourselves, so our guys get used to game type speed. Making plays with guys coming after him, tackling full speed, all that's going to have to be simulated by our own team.
Coach Ed Orgeron is our guest, head coach of the LSU Tigers. And when you go into a season like this where everything's uncertain, if you don't know how many fans you're going to have, and how much is that different for a school like LSU, which, I mean, the fan base there is amazing. The home games are one of the best places I've ever been to. If you wind up not being able to have that, how much does that affect your team on the field and your coaching?
Well, we're not going to let it affect us. We're going to have to block out the noise. Whatever happens, we're going to have to deal with it, and it's going to be the same with a lot of teams. So I think the team that has the mental toughness, I think the team that deals with the task at hand is going to have success. Now, obviously, I want the stadium full at LSU. It's a home field advantage, as you guys know. But I do believe we're going to have fans in the stadium. That's not much my decision. But I'm looking to have a Tiger Stadium almost full, and hopefully we can do that.
Coach, one of the questions I've wanted to ask you ever since last year's sort of magical run took place is, do you believe that it was really kind of fate that brought you to LSU? Because I know how disheartened you were that USC decided to go a different route. And do you think that, had they given you that job at USC, do you think that you would have had the same success by now that you had there at LSU? Or do you think really it was just kind of, it was the world's way of putting you in the right situation, sending you down to LSU?
Yeah, I always wanted to be at LSU, and I always wanted to be at USC. At two schools, I was 6 years old, man. I wanted to be – I used to watch O.J. Simpson run with my dad and watch LSU play. So I'm sitting at my home right now on the road that I talk to you, and it brings back those memories. I think faith had it for me to come back to LSU. Obviously, a lot of things had to fall in place. First of all, I didn't get the job at USC, and everybody knows I should have got it. And I don't know what happened there. I think we would have had success, but look at the way it turned out. I thank God for everything he's given me and the situation I'm in. I couldn't be in a better situation. And I'm at home here at LSU, and I'm coaching great players. I have great support, great fan support, and everything is going fantastic.
Coach, you're obviously in a division there that's always going to be very difficult with Alabama in there, and Auburn jumps up, and the other teams there are all capable. How do you get to where you can sustain success in a division like that and do it year after year, which LSU's been really good at doing? I mean, that just seems difficult with those teams.
Well, you had LSU, so you're going to recruit great players. You're going to get great players here. And you got to continue to get great players in the state of Louisiana, in Houston and Dallas, and then we go nationwide. Well, the key to me is development. When they show up, I want these guys to get better. I have some tremendous coaches that we talk about ongoing skill development, and every day we go through individual, we film it, and we get better. I think that the players mature. They get better with Tommy Moffitt in the weight room. I think he was the best in the country. But, you got to be able to do that to compete with Alabama. I mean, year in, year out, they're the team that you got to beat. And then you look around the SEC West, it's full of great players, full of great coaches. I think the key to staying on top is getting great character players with great athletic ability and have great coaches. I think that's the only way to do it.
You know, last year you mentioned Nick Saban in Alabama. You beat them. You beat Dabo Swinney and Clemson, which I have to admit – our morning show guy said I wouldn't admit it to you, but I did pick Clemson to beat you guys. I'm a self-admitted Trevor Lawrence fan, but I mean, when you look back at that season and you mentioned beating Texas and really the SEC West as a whole was great last year. Do you really believe that was the greatest college football season ever for a team?
It was a great year. That's not my decision. I've seen some great teams, and we all have. I think that's just a matter of opinion. But I do believe when you look at all the top 10 teams that we beat, how we beat them, that it's going to be mentioned as one of the greatest. If it's the greatest of that, whoever knows. But I think it needs to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams.
You put five kids in the first round of the NFL draft this last season. If you had to pick one of those five, you think is going to have the most success in the NFL? Who's the guy that we should be looking at? Well, maybe we should leave out Joe Burrow, but besides Joe Burrow, who do you think of those guys? Is like you saw when you first met him, you're like, oh, this is an NFL kid.
You know, it's hard because all of them have developed, and you know, and you start with Joe. You know, look at Joe. He was projected a sixth round pick before last year. You know, and he ends up being the first round pick. So, you know, those guys, as I say, develop. Look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, what a story. And what a year he had. You know, and all those guys. I think Kelavon Chasson right there from Houston, man. What a great pass rusher he is. And the job that he's going to do. And Justin Jefferson. What about him? You know, he comes. Nobody knew about him. And I think he ranked the two-star. So I think those guys are going to go out there and compete. I think all of them are going to do fine.
You know, you mentioned Joe Burrow and what he was expected to be. And as a college football fan, I was like, the reason why I couldn't pick LSU to be like a real contender going into the season was Joe Burrow. Like, I didn't see it in Joe Burrow before last season. And really, the truth is, on tape, if you watch tape of Joe Burrow before last season, there was reason to question him. When you met Joe, when you saw Joe, did you know that there was something special and you just had to find a way to get it out of him?
Here's the thing that I knew about Joe. We had a meeting. Joe didn't want to talk any recruiting. He wanted to eat crawfish and talk football. So, okay, we got a lot of crawfish. We can talk football. And we had a meeting, and there was about six of us in that meeting. It's a football meeting. And I was in there. And it took me about 5 minutes to realize that Joe Burrow was the smartest guy in there, including me. And his football IQ is off the charts. And I've been around a lot of great football players, a lot of smart football players, but I knew then that he was going to be special. Now, his first year, you know, Joe had to develop. And then we got into the spread, which was really Joe's offense because he could make the decisions at the line of scrimmage. And he had all that talent around him. But you know that the balls that he threw and the decisions that he made and some of the plays that he made, that's why he won the Heisman. What a phenomenal year.
Coach, one of the things I've admired about you is not just that you recruit great players, but kind of getting back to what we talked about earlier, you recruit great coaches. And you see your players develop, as Burrow did. And how important is it to get a staff of guys that can help you develop the players the way you want to see it done?
It's key. When I took over LSU, I knew that the recruiting, that, you know, that's one of my strengths. When I took over LSU, I wanted to get coaches that not only could recruit, I wanted to get coaches that knew the game of football, that studied the game of football. And we got, you know, we got guys that's been in the NFL. We got guys that are 60 years old with still some energy, but they're football coaches and they're good men. I think we talk about development. We talk about ongoing skill development, about getting better, about character, about grit. And I think you see these five-star come that are great athletes, four-star, don't matter, and they develop and they get better.
You know, Coach, I worked in Austin back in 2005 when Mack Brown and Vince Young won a national championship, and I can't help but, you know, looking at your team from last year and looking at that team, Mack was kind of a good old boy. And he was great at recruiting, great at putting the right people around him, and then he just found this magical quarterback. Have you heard that comparison before between you and Mack Brown, and do you think it's apt?
No, not really, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for Coach Brown. He did a great job, and, you know, we're going to do what we do at LSU. You know, we think we just get started. We think last year is the first of many that we're going to be involved in. We think that we have an ascending program, that we're going to recruit great players and great coaches and stay on the top and compete for the championship for years to come.
Well, you said early in this interview, you said, you know, Nick Saban, Alabama, we got to compete with them every year. I mean, do you think LSU can be the next Alabama? They can be that team that for years to come, people are like, oh, no matter how good we are, we still got to beat LSU to get to that where we want to be.
Well, you know, that's what we want to be. I mean, that's what we're striving to be. We're not there yet, obviously. We got to prove it. And, you know, don't talk about it, be about it. So we're going to see. But our idea is to be great for years to come. And I got to give it to Coach Saban, man. He's the best in the business. He's sustained. He has a great program. His teams are tough. You know, that win was our first win we had lost eight times in a row. So that first win that we got over there at Alabama was a huge win for us. And I knew after we won that game that we had a chance to win the national championship. So you have to beat Alabama.
Coach, what was it like having a guy like John Robinson around, and how much was he involved? Because, I mean, he's got to be just a treasure trove.
Oh, my God, every day. Well, thankful. You know, Coach Robinson and I created a great relationship at USC, and just loved him to death. And when I found out he was available, his wife, Beverly, graduated from LSU, so she wanted to come home. And I told Coach Robinson, who's 82 years old, I said, Coach, I think he is. He never tells me his real age. I said, Coach, we get in the office at 6 in the morning, and we get off at 10 o'clock at night. You do not. I don't expect that from you. Come whenever you want. Coach Robinson is in the office at 6 o'clock in the morning and leaves at 10 o'clock at night at 82 years old every day. And he's just a treasure. And on Monday, he'll have about 10 things, good or bad, he'll observe. He observes players. He observes coaches for me. He's my right-hand man, and he's just been a treasure, man. What a great guy to have.
Coach, one more thing before we let you go here. Coach Orgeron from LSU on the phone with us. The thing that's looming over this entire season right now is this COVID-19. I mean, how different has this offseason been for you guys, and how have you talked to your players about how different the actual season will have to be in order for you guys to keep playing?
Yeah, you know, first of all, we have to follow the COVID rules. Shelley and Jack, our trainers, I think are on the forefront of this. I think we got the best available for our young men. I think they know that they're safe when they do get it. I think they know they get proper care, they get quarantined. We have a lot of information. We just got to deal with it. You know, we wear our mask at practice, which is different, but you know what? They're getting used to it. They tried their shields on one time. Some of it says it's hard to breathe. And, you know, I said, baby, you know, we'll find a solution to that. But whatever it is, we want to put our kids' safety first, no question. But at LSU, we want to play football. Our kids are eager to play football. They worked all year. And I do believe we have a chance to have an excellent season.
You know, you had a quote earlier, I guess probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, where you said college football is, you know, the lifeblood of our country. And there's a lot of people, you know, particularly people in, you know, California or New York who thought it was a silly comment. And, you know, maybe they don't understand what college football means to especially places like Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Like, is it tough to explain to people outside of big time college football towns, like how important college football is to certain parts of the country, particularly that southeast part of the country?
Yeah, you know, I understand their point of view, and I get it. And people have different views, and that's what makes this country great. But I do believe you come Saturday night in Death Valley, and LSU's playing Florida, and LSU's playing Auburn, and LSU's playing Alabama, and the restaurants are full, the hotels are full, and everything is hopping. You see why football is so important to our area of the country. Now, I want to say this again. Our safety of our players is most important. But if we can do it, we need to do it.
That's Coach Ed Orgeron, head coach of the national champion LSU Tigers. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time with us. I know you're a busy man, and it means a lot to me that you were able to come on with us. And is there anything you want to say to the kids out here in Houston? Maybe there's some recruits listening.
Oh, I do want to say. First of all, I want to say hello to all the great LSU fans in Houston. When I go to the schools, there's more LSU fans in there, and they support us. I want to say hello to all the players that have wore the purple and gold in Houston, all the great players. I can't say anything to the recruits, but I'm coming. We're going to be there. And go Tigers.
All right. Hey, Coach, appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
That's Ed Orgeron. Very cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
Whoa!
listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Man, what an easy guy to root for.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that interview. And we were talking on the Twitch channel and kind of wanted to get back to it about the difference between a guy like him and Bill O'Brien. In that, you know, he brings in a guy like John Robinson and brings in Joe Brady when he needs to put the spread in. And then when Brady leaves, he goes and gets Scott Linehan, who's got NFL coordinator experience. He surrounds himself. And you were talking about the story where Joe Burrow was the smartest guy in the room. He listens to guys like that.
Dude, a lot of coaches don't like to have people smarter than them around. And it's an ego thing, and they don't like feeling threatened. And Coach O, to me, comes across as a very humble dude.
A very confident guy, though.
Yeah.
But also very...
But he wants to win football games, and he knows it's a team game, and it's not about, oh, look at me, I'm the big genius on the hill here. I'm not going to name names around this town of guys who feel that way about themselves, who want to be they want to be the star of the show as a coach. That's just not the way to do it. And, you're right. It is. He's a very easy guy to cheer for. And, you know, to be fair, LSU, I mean, their last couple, Les Miles was an easy guy to cheer for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was
grass eating Les.
Yeah. It's just but LSU finds guys that are a good fit for LSU. And that's why, you know, there's very few. It's very rare that there are teams who, you know, come out and compete with teams like Alabama year in and year out. And, I mean, LSU and Auburn, to their credit, have found a way every year to compete with that. And they don't always win. They don't always beat Alabama. But it's no longer a given that Alabama is going to win the SEC West anymore like it was for a long time. And it's, I do believe Ed Orgeron. He seems like the kind of guy, if he can keep getting good coaches around him and keep finding the right quarterbacks, which has always been kind of a problem for LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
If he can keep finding the right quarterbacks, that's a guy who, Nick Saban's not going to coach forever, but when Nick Saban leaves, I don't think Alabama football is just going to keep on rolling like it's Alabama football. They're not immune to downswings too, especially when Nick Saban's not around. I think that they might be in store for one. And LSU.
Well, it's happened before there.
Yeah. They seem like, if they keep Coach Orgeron, that seems like the kind of place where they could be that next Alabama.
I could see that. Or, well, at least in the SEC, because I think we're kind of leaving Clemson out of the equation right now. And that program is up there now, too. But
they are. But it's hard to tell because, you know, and like I said, I thought Clemson was going to beat LSU last year. To their credit, Clemson beat LSU or beat Alabama the year before, playing the same crappy schedule. But when you play in the ACC and you're literally the only good team, it's really hard to prepare. We just talked to him about, hey, is it difficult jumping straight into the SEC schedule? I mean, Clemson has like 10 preseason games and then they play a playoff game. That's basically what their schedule is right now. So it's hard to know how great Clemson is. I mean, Clemson's getting great recruits and things like that. But these teams that play in that SEC West, you know, it's such a grind every year. If you're able to win that division, that says something every year.
Yeah, I did not think Clemson was going to win last year. And
I'm pretty sure I was the only person here on the station.
I think you were the only one. But I also felt like when you looked at that whole body of work that LSU had, and it wasn't just, you know, they beat Texas when Texas still had potential to be really good.
Yep.
They ran over some teams in the SEC that wound up being really, really good teams. They were just battle tested. And, Clemson was a great team too. They weren't on their level. And I think though that, I hope he can build it into a program that can be there year in, year out, because hell, I think he's done a hell of a job. I love the way he recruits. And the other thing about him, his players get better. And Saban's do as well. You look at guys, and that's one thing about Burrow. Burrow, in his second year, was a totally different player, enough to be the number one pick in the draft. And that comes from coaching, man. Not just understanding the game, but getting him in the right position and changing the offense so that it works for him. That's just good coaching, man.
You know, I think part of the reason why I doubted Clemson or LSU against Clemson last year is because when you go look back at their schedule last year, they did play at Texas, and that was a close game. It was a 7-point game. And there were some swings late in that game where it could have even been.
Yeah, if you remember, LSU got the big touchdown late.
Yep, or could have been a totally different game. Yeah. But I was like, okay, it's still a good win. At the time, it seemed certainly like a good win. By the end of the season, it wasn't as impressive. But and then I don't know if they dog stomped Florida, but I didn't think much of Florida. And then when they beat Auburn, I think they beat Auburn by a field goal, and I was like, okay, well. You're playing with fire.
That game was close, but it was also one that they never really felt in doubt to me.
And then the next week was Alabama at Bama, and they beat Bama. They beat them by 5 points. It was a close game. And anytime you beat Bama, it doesn't matter if it's by 5 or 25. It doesn't matter. But I was like, it seems like when they play these top teams, it's different. It's a little bit different. Particularly, it's different for their defense. Alabama put up 41 on them. I was like, oh, okay. I'll tell you when I really got impressed. And they dog stomped A&M. I don't remember the final score, but it was by a million points.
50-7.
50-7.
I think they were a little pissed from that game the year before.
I'll tell you when it really woke me up that this – and I was hearing all the talk about, oh, this LSU team is special. I was like, well, they're good. Their defense is kind of meh to be special. When they put up 37 points on Georgia, 37-10, and that game, it didn't feel like it was a 4-touchdown game. It felt like it was an 8-touchdown game. Like, Georgia didn't belong on the field with them. And I thought, man, Georgia's pretty good. Then I was like, ooh, this LSU team's got something. I knew they were going to beat the snot out of Oklahoma. I firmly believed that whoever played Oklahoma in the playoff was going to win by a million points, and then the other game was going to be a tough, grinded-out game. And it ended up being Clemson-Alabama. And I just thought, you know what, this Clemson team...
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Everybody said this team last year wasn't... They weren't going to be there. They couldn't beat Bama and because they didn't play anybody. And I was like, well, they've got this magical quarterback who literally never lost a game. I was like, I believe in that kid. And you know what? For a little while, it was close, and then not close.
Well,
I mean, just a it was a special season for sure.
I one of the reasons why I was higher on them than you were is you kept pointing to their defense, and well, they gave up this to this guy. I mean, from a talent perspective, they had plenty of NFL talent on that defense. Whenever you go to a spread, we see this with every spread team in the history of the world. You can have the best defense in the world, you're still going to give up some points and yards because your offense scores so quick and you're right back out there. And, you know, they had some really nice players on that side of the ball. And
But they gave up like 40 points to Vanderbilt early in the season.
I know, and you always kept harping on that all season.
I mean, it was
38,
thing.
But they scored 66 and and they scored so fast they were off the field. And, you know, yeah, that wasn't a great game, but then, you know, that's gonna happen when you have that kind of offense. And you know, hell, I mean, that almost got him beat against Alabama. Who's the dead leaf over here? This is not good.
Oh, it's Austin Matthews.
No, it's not Matthews. I think it's Marner.
No, Marner's standing there, number 16.
No.
How dare you? The guy who was on my fantasy team for back-to-back championships.
But you didn't win this year.
I didn't win this year, thanks to it. I wasn't going to win anyway this year. I just like to give you grief because it took a pandemic to give you a win. Yeah. I have to give a shout out to Tracy, who's been listening to our station and our show for a long, long time, who put me in touch with Coach Orgeron.
And, oh, that's great,
dude! He was so down to earth. Dude's like texting me, love to be on the show. I mean, very, very cool guy. Like originally, I had gotten his handler's number, and then his handler never texted me back. And then I just got in touch with Coach O, and he was like, okay, we'll work around all this. And he's just a really easy dude to work with. Now, mind you, if this were a regular summer and he was starting camps and things right now, he probably wouldn't have had time. But with things the way they were, he had time, and I appreciate him for sure, and I appreciate Tracy for putting me in touch with him.
Yeah, that's very cool of her. Jake Muzzin is the injured Leaf, and they're bringing out the stretcher, so that doesn't look good. And they need their defensemen to not die, because they're not very good on defense to begin with. So
I didn't see exactly like what caused it, but he was going face first into the ice, and I think he landed on like the back of a skate.
Ooh.
But I'm not 100%, because you don't see too much of the angle.
Has he moved at all?
Yeah, he was moving his fingers
and
his hands. And he's now just moving up his legs on his own.
Okay, so he's not paralyzed.
It looked like he was going face first, and you saw the guy from Columbus trip too. And the angle he was going at, he probably hit it somewhere around the back of his calf or his skate. Mm.
In the last couple minutes, the Phoenix Suns, not the Arizona Suns, the Phoenix Suns beat the L.A. Clippers on a Devin Booker turnaround fadeaway at the buzzer. That kid's good. And a guy tweeted, people in Phoenix starting to believe in a big bubble run. You should hear the sports talk radio here. I mean, they do have a I don't know if I believe in them, but they have a franchise player in Devin Booker. That is a really, really good player.
They've had so many high draft picks for so long. At
they
some
finally
point,
hit on one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're a real contender, a real bubble run team either, but they're fun to watch, and that kid's very, very good.
Did you see who else lost today?
I did not.
Your Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, I did see that.
They lost to the Nets.
Yeah. Who might be the worst team at the bubble.
And they were like 19-point favorites or so. I saw Jerry Bowe tweeted out. I think he said that the Bucks were like 19-point favorites in that game. And lose it outright.
That's why I couldn't bet the NBA, because I would have said playing the Nets, the Nets have no players left. It's a bunch of guys that you've never heard of playing. And guys that they pulled off the street, they're like washed up has-beens. And they're playing against a team that's going to be the one seed in the East. And a team that's probably pissed off they just lost that game to the Rockets. If I were a betting man, I would have said, oh, they're going to come out and smash these guys. That's why I don't bet the NBA. Because they just rolled over and died.
Yeah.
And maybe the Bucks suck.
There's no way to judge these teams yet. They've been, when you have this kind of disruption, same thing with the hockey, same thing with baseball, frankly. There's no way you can judge them yet. You got to give this at least a week for guys to adjust and for players to get back in shape. I mean, because you don't know who was sitting around eating ice cream and who was actually working out during this.
That's true.
And
I was sitting around eating ice cream.
You know, so was I, but that's.
So was Zion.
So was Zion.
Zion was eating pizza, ice cream, and small children. But. Yeah, that's you got to give it a little time for these teams to get their act together, and you know, during the course of a season, everybody has stretches like this where the Rockets had that stretch right before the COVID hit, and where they were losing to teams where you're like, how the hell do you lose to these guys? And so it's just heightened because it's more condensed right now, and you know, I think give everybody because even the Lakers, you know, they don't look like the Lakers yet. They'll get there.
All right. I've got to tell you about Boomer Naturals, these masks. And I'm telling you, this mask is a game changer. This is the kind of mask that we need because this is one that's actually doing something. A lot of people wearing just a T-shirt over their face or a bandana. It's better than nothing, certainly, but it's not offering real protection. Boomer Naturals has this nano silver technology woven into the fabric. It's blocking the tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. And that's what we want with that mask. If you're going to have to wear a mask anyway, you might as well wear one that's actually offering you the best protection. And they've also got the nano silver neck gaiters that like Fred likes to wear. Sort of they're around your neck. Just pull it up over your face when you need to go in somewhere. And here's another great thing. They've got sizes for adults, teens, children. They're ready to ship fast. They're comfortable, breathable, and they donate one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need, doing the right thing. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Hoffman and save 20%. That's code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. It feels so accidental. Started as a friend's party, turned into a damn. Yo. It
was just supposed to be a quickie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis tonight. There's 1:55 left in this game, and there's been about a half hour delay, I would say, for this injury, and it looked pretty bad. So Jake Muzzin of the Leafs got smashed pretty bad. So a couple of things. As Fred, can you and AJ ask AJ if he can have my friend on? I know he supports local MMA fighters, and he is fighting on the Dana's Contender Series. I think your rule is you have to be in the UFC, right?
Who is his friend?
He doesn't say.
I don't know then, yeah.
Just reach out to AJ. Okay, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this one was close in the voting, so I might do them both. But we are going to, here's your headline. Police give up fighting sex-mad monkeys, which overran city, eating themselves to death.
I think I'd give up on that too.
Officers armed with slingshots admit there is little they can do to tackle huge out-of-control groups of junk food addicted. I think we've had these kind of, it's M-A-C-A-Q-U-E-S. I don't know how to pronounce those. But they are running riot in the Thai city of Lop Buri in Thailand. In fact, they're eating themselves to death, according to wildlife experts. Citizens in the tourist hotspot, which, by the way, if that's a tourist hotspot in Thailand, probably going to pass.
Yeah.
I don't really want to be attacked by an estimated 6,000 monkeys. And they're vicious, and they've set up their headquarters in a cinema and apparently developed a taste for junk food. Here it is, another more proof that Planet of the Apes is coming.
It's pronounced Macaquay.
Macaquay? Really?
According to this video.
Okay, Macaquay. That makes sense. Macaquay. So Macaquays, 6,000 of them. And the residents basically can't leave their houses. And they found out the best way to calm them down was to give them fast food, but that's just made things worse. So the new sugary diet and lack of tourists because of the COVID crisis is inspired to make life miserable for the people of Lop Buri. And one of the police officers says that trying to disperse large groups of the monkeys was hopeless. So within a blink of an eye, there were more monkeys. So many babies. there you go. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah. Dude, did you see the, now, at least this is from NBC reporting, Lebanese Prime Minister says Beirut explosions caused by an estimated 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate left unsecured for 6 years in a warehouse.
Oh, no.
He vows to punish the officials responsible.
Not wise.
50-plus dead, 3,000 injured, hospitals overwhelmed. When you see that explosion, it's hard to believe that only 50 people died.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to be a lot worse.
I mean, it looks like, oh, the building's on fire. That looks bad. But then you watch it for about 10 seconds, and it looks like someone dropped an atomic bomb or
something.
Yeah,
it does.
I mean, it's...
And that one video where the guy's filming it from the building, where when you see it, the shock waves coming, and then the phone goes flying. I mean, it was just... really, really gruesome, and it kind of made me. The only thing that I didn't see this because I wasn't alive, but I've seen pictures of that 47 Texas City explosion. That's kind of what it made me think of. So, St. Patrick says 2020 really is a Jumanji game. What level were the monkeys? Yeah. Oh, man. I tell you, the world is just one weird thing after another. Got monkeys taking over a city. And we got cities blowing up. I love how the Israelis basically came right out and said, wasn't us, wasn't us. I'm sure that's the first thing people thought.
Yeah, not on us.
Yeah, so hopefully.
That is a crazy, crazy video, though.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to watch, it's all over Twitter. You could find it somewhere. And, it's pretty scary. I can't imagine being around that.
No.
But, so. And the guy who texted about the fighter, he tagged you on Twitter.
Yeah, I got it. It's Adrian Yanez, who I've seen fight probably more of his fights than I haven't. And he's very good. And he trains out of Metro. And, it wouldn't shock me if he gets a contract, but the rule, like Fred said, once a guy's in, glad to have him on, but we had to make a rule.
Yeah. Well, and you've had so many people hit you up to get on the show.
Exactly.
And you've always, you've been very clear about that. It's like, once you sign with the UFC, happy to have you on.
Yep. And I think we've had every fighter who's been in the UFC out of Houston. I think we've had on the show. But
yeah, I can't think of somebody we would have missed.
And most of them. And by the way, speaking of Saturday, sports match games, Derek Lewis fighting, main event on Saturday. Check that out.
Is that a?
It's not on pay per view.
Oh, awesome.
Freebie.
Awesome.
Yep. You may have to have ESPN Plus. I think it's on ESPN.
No, I have them both. So I've. I think I've officially gotten to where I don't need DirecTV anymore. I forgot to call and cancel it today, but with that Fubo thing that's got all the sports on it, I think I have it all. Now, when I go and add it all up, I am going to be saving a bunch of money. The only thing that's sort of a pain in the ass is having to flip from app to app.
Yeah.
Because I always like the last channel thing so I could watch multiple games and stuff like that. But I'm also paying over $200 a month that I don't really need to be spending.
Yeah, it's on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
It is on Plus? Okay.
Yes.
So, and now once football season comes, I'm going to have to make some kind of adjustment there. But as far as, like today, man, just sit there all day hockey. One channel. Don't have to move. It's great. But, if it gets to where I need the NFL back, I'll just redo it. But, I mean, to get that basic package that includes AT&T Sportsnet, it's just ridiculous.
It's hard to justify.
Yeah, I mean, just for that one channel, but you're going to give me 100 channels like the BYU network.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah, so at least this I can kind of pick and choose a little better. So we will have Eric Warner at 6 o'clock. Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
Cool. That'd be good to have. And so I'll give you the other what was going to be the gym of the day, but I like the monkeys better. I think anytime we get world-ending monkeys, I like it to be the gym of the day.
Okay.
I mean, it's just... And pronounce him for me one more time, Aaron.
Macaquays.
Okay, you know what? You just record that so that the next time we have a story about the Macaquays, we can just play your voice saying that. Say, these monkeys, Macaquays. Yeah, I like that.
I think I'm going to record the British guy saying it because it sounds fancier.
Oh, really? Yeah, the British are always sound
He might British. Say it wrong.
Well, that's true. He's saying it in British.
Yeah. We don't speak British here.
And all joking aside, there's a lot of words they pronounce differently over there, just like Canada does. We've talked about that before. I get up there and it's like, ooh, he's made a lot of progress.
He's got a professional sounding voice, though. Listen to it.
Today, we will explore the culture of the Macaquay. Jerry, how do you say this one? You think it's macaque? No, it's too long to be macaque. Maybe macaque?
He doesn't know either.
I'm pretty sure it's macaque.
I think it's macaque.
Yeah, I think it is.
Macaque? Is that how you spell? Is that how you say it?
I think it's macaque.
I would say macaque.
Oh, God.
Macaque.
That sounds even worse.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, you know what? I think you need to do a little bit more research, Aaron, before you stop dropping and start dropping stuff like that. So, man. Somebody asked, not even Bellator. Most of the guys who would be in Bellator probably
they've already been in the UFC.
Yeah. So, 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713's. Now, I really want to know how you pronounce it, because now I feel like you made a fool of me by making me say Makakwe.
Macaque.
Yeah, somebody says those are troll videos, Aaron. You better research that.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one that goes into like a long explanation of what kind of or where the monkey's native to and says it's called a rhesus macaque.
I knew it.
Ah!
A rhesus?
Rhesus.
Huh. Like a peanut butter macaque.
Yeah.
Doesn't Nick have something to do with that, with his dog? Nick Sharara, didn't he? He introduced it to that kind of monkey or something? A peanut butter macaque?
I know Jason's obsessed with it, too.
Jason Braddock?
Yeah, because he loves the movie Road Trip. And as long as it's your dog, it's not weird.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
That's weird.
I'm against that. Just going to go on record. And I'm against involving macaques.
Yeah. Even Reese's macaques.
Yeah. I mean, I do like Reese's.
I like Reese's pieces more than the cups.
I like the cups more than the pieces.
I think most people like the cups best.
Yeah, because the pieces are kind of just, you know, renegade M&M's.
But they're way more delicious than M&M's.
I mean, I don't know. Of course, I haven't eaten any of this stuff in 30 years, so.
Yeah.
But now I take it back. I have had the cups, you know, in the last couple years.
Yeah. All you got to do is, if I'm drunk, we stop by a gas station, or I'm getting some kind of junk food. Like, when we were in Oregon, my wife was driving us around, luckily. But we were out with my sister-in-law and her husband, and I was pretty hammered, and we stopped at a grocery store on the way home, and then I woke up and I had a bag and it had two varieties of Oreos in it, like full packs, and it was the regular Oreos and then the carrot cake Oreos, which sounded good. They're okay. It doesn't taste like carrot cake. They should be called spice cake Oreos. It's much more of a spice cake than a carrot cake. And the cookie gets a little dry, so I can't recommend.
My go-to drunk thing is, I've had similar instances. If I wake up and there's a thing of ice cream in the refrigerator, that's what it was. I went out and got ice cream, which it doesn't happen very often. Yeah, I haven't really done a lot of, I haven't really been totally trashed to the point. Well, man, it was probably February. I'm actually drinking less at night. I'm still drinking pretty much every night, but I'm not drinking myself into oblivion anymore.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I'm having like 3 or 4 glasses and just kind of chilling. And, you know,
I mean, that's probably the way you should do it.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I think not going out really helps and keeps me from getting stupid. Somebody says pronounce Macau like the gambling city in China, and then somebody says it's pronounced both. And I'm getting a lot of.
I don't think anyone knows how this word's pronounced.
Can't we?
Pretty sure the scientist that named him is dead, so we're just going to go with whatever we want.
That means we're going with macaque.
Can't we just call them monkeys?
Well, what are you going to do? Call a chimpanzee a monkey?
But these, or an orangutan?
Yeah, they're all different.
Why you guys got to be that way?
Oh, listen, you just throw everybody into the same bucket. It's not. Monkeys are like people.
You did that with Houston.
They have feelings.
You did that with the city of Houston. You threw Woodlands and everybody else into that one bucket.
No, it's greater Houston area. I mean, macaques are greater monkey area.
Yeah, okay then. But, then you should just call them GMAs. Oh, God. Do we have Lawyer Dave on the phone? He's not here? Well, that's because he's probably going and winning a case, because that's what he does. And guys, if you've been in any kind of accident, and judging from how people are driving on the road, from what I've seen, there've been a bunch of accidents. You've been in an 18-wheeler. If you've had something at workplace, slip and fall, any of that. If you've had problems got misdiagnosed with something by a doctor and they committed malpractice. Guess what? He helps with that too. And here's the thing. Doesn't charge at all for his consultation. So if you have any legal question at all, just give him a call. And if it's something he does and he takes your case, no money out of your pocket until you win. That's simple. And if you need to go to a doctor, they'll send you. They'll even get an Uber to take you. That's just what he does. Doesn't cost you a dime until you win. You can give him a call right now at 713-626-8900. You can go on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law. You can go to lawyerdave.com. And if you can't remember all that, just do what most people do. DM me or send me an email, and I'll be happy to get you the information. Practices all over the state, so even over in the Golden Triangle. If you need a lawyer, better dial Dave. Nothing is
of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it.